Internet, you've been hearing about how the Northern Lights reached all the way down to this part of the world as well, which is beautiful. And that is the handiwork of the Lord as well. And if we think about everything that is being experienced in this life, this world is not our home. We're just traveling through. And so if we look and we see the beauty of this world that we live on, and as we look at this beautiful place that He made for us, this is the space eyes view. You can zoom in and go closer and closer, and marvelous things spring up even more. And then you go down to the microscope area. There is beauty to behold and design, of which that we should not ignore, because God Himself prepared that for us, that we would be amazed. So we've got something new to be amazed about here in this last weekend. God did that. And we should never, ever forget all that God does for us every day. And the reason is to win our heart, to refocus our attention on Him. Why we just ate of His flesh and drank of His blood, that we might refocus and make certain that we do not lose that which is most important. That this life is but a vapor that appears for just a little time and then vanishes away. But oh, there's a lot of things, though, when I think of the Internet, that are brought out and then in the news and all of the things going on in the colleges and in the schools and the reprogramming. And you think about, what if I could just take this corner and spin the earth around real quick, right quick? Of course, you'd think, that's impossible. Well, who started it spinning how many years ago? And is still spinning. Just at the right amount of speed. The right distance from the sun. All of this is just it can't be a coincidence. And when you start adding all of these things up, you come to this conclusion that that's just impossible. All of this just could not have happened by accident. But, be as it is, and we are human beings are really gullible. Gullible to believe things like horoscopes, fortune tellers, and then there's a whole laundry list more of those kinds of things. That people give great excitement about and interest in and consulting those things. And then there are the people that are so gullible, thinking that they can get something from nothing. Matter of fact, there's such an inflow right now of people from all around the world thinking that they're getting something from nothing, for nothing. And actually they are, for a little while. But reality will strike. But how many of us have fallen for some of the things that have actually cost us our identity sometimes? And then there's the narratives that are being hammered with every day in programs and in news broadcasts. And those are just physical things that we are gullible about. And then we come to religious things. Oh, you may know Ephesians 4:5. Easy verse to remember. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So one equals what? One! Surprise! You should be. It always has equaled one. It will continue to be one. Yet that's not what the world has fallen for. Because the father of lies just continues to feed these things to us and to deceive people into believing things that are actually impossible. I could not spin the earth around, no more than any one of us in this world could do that, nor could I stop it. So that's what I'm talking about today. Things that we tend to believe or be influenced by that biblically just do not fit. They just do not fit into God's divine word, even though people are buying it right and left and in their narrative. One of which that I have had to deal with often is the idea of, I want to be a Christian and I want to be just the kind of a Christian, but I'm not going to be identified with a church. That's impossible. Biblically speaking, Galatians chapter 3 tells us where it begins. For you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. And the Lord, in Acts chapter 2, with those that do obey and are baptized, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so the Lord himself is the one that adds them. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that there is just one body and that we're baptized into that one body and that body has many members. And so, really? So when we run into someone that, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm just not part of any church. That's impossible. They bought into something that is absolutely impossible. To continue in sin. A lot of people buy into this. They continue in sin, and yet they're thinking, I'm going to play through life and experience all the things life has, and then in the end, I'll repent right before I die. Even if they could time it that way, it still is impossible. Because anyone that willingly practices sin gets deeper and deeper and deeper in that sin. And even though I've seen, maybe you have too, seen many people have this idea, this impossible idea, that, you know, I'll repent and come right before God, you know, in the end. It never happens. Shall we sin that grace may abound? That verse says, Romans 6:1. God forbid. That cannot happen. How can we die to sin and not live any longer in it? It's just impossible if we are playing this game with God. We've got to give up sin. Colossians chapter 1 says that we are delivered out of the power of darkness or the world of darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son. That's what Paul said happened to him. And oh, he was a big time sinner, but he was a righteous sinner because he thought he was doing what was right according to the law of Moses. And thus he had to make a drastic change as well. Romans 6, in verse 6, it describes it as our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Which brings us to the next thing. We're delivered out of slavery, the slavery of sin. Sin does have a way to dominate us and overwhelm us if we let it. And so we cannot think that we are not under the dominion of sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The only way to escape it is to appeal to God's loving hand of grace, and he will enable us to overcome that slavery. Chapter 7, he goes on and tells more about this bondage, how that the Jews during that time were under bondage of the law, but they became dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be married to another. So this is a total break of the world's standards to be able to fall in line with what God expects us to behave like. What else does God deliver us from? He delivers us from emptiness, or having holes in our life. Many times I'll ask the young people, and they are very well informed about this. I say, of all of your classmates in school, how many do you know that you would consider them well-rounded? There is no gaping holes in their life. They just got everything, you know, in order, and it all is just going well. How many do you know that way? None. Well, how much of you is missing? How big a hole is in your life? If you were to 1,000-piece puzzle here on the table, how many pieces of your puzzle would be missing? They'd say, more than half, for sure. They understand that. God is the only one that can make us whole to remove this emptiness that is in us. Solomon shared this with us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. This is the only way for us to be complete, to have an awesome respect for God and keep His commandments. Well, what else has God delivered us from? He's delivered us from poverty unto the riches of His grace. In Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. He has also given us a lack of confusion. He gives us peace. He gives us direction. He gives us meaning to live. And thus, all of the confusing things that are happening around us and to us today can be removed if we keep our eyes upon Him and Him alone. Thus, He gives us a wisdom that is from above. There's a lot of verses about this. Let me just read to them. And since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so the preaching of the gospel to someone of the world is foolishness. They don't see it. They don't get it. Mainly because it doesn't reach their heart. They do not know that they're listening to God's own word. And if it doesn't reach their heart, it is just facts to be discarded. But if we let God speak all the way to our heart, then it is wisdom from above that will never be shaken or discarded. God is the only one that can also deliver us from unrest, from stress, and give us peace. I'm looking. You know who you are. I've had this conversation with many. And that is, how do we deal with all of this stuff that's going on around us? How do we separate ourselves from that so it does not just overwhelm us with confusion and such? God is the only way. That has been the plan from the beginning, way back in Isaiah chapter 53. He brings out that the chastisement of our peace was placed upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. That healing can only come when we will put our trust and confidence in Him, to yield to Him, to listen to Him. And if we have anxieties, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, had this study just in the last few days with someone, and it is the idea of how can I deal with all of this, these worried problems, and here's the go-to passage, 4 through 8. It brings out that we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, through our and he will help us and guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, there's a lot of things that are not fitting into God's Word. You see, that first thing that I mentioned, the idea that I want to be a Christian, but I do not want to be part of the church. That just doesn't fit. That doesn't make sense, because the word church itself has the idea of someone that has been called out. And the very concept of the word church is very meaningful to us, because what have we been called out of? We've been called out of a meaningless life. We spend all our lives heaping up money, getting fame, getting fortune, getting attention, and then when it's all said and done, it is all said and done. Permanently. Eternally. We lose everything. Everything we see, taste, touch, separation from God. That's not a place that any of us should even consider going to. The eternal purpose and stability is what God has called us to. If we will just let Him call us out of that and into that, the peace that passes all understanding will be given to us. He's called us out of a worldly praise situation that we might in turn give praise and glory to God. It is about praise, but it's not about praise to come to me. It's about praise to come to the one that we just ate His flesh and drank His blood. That's where the praise should be going and the glory go. Because He's the one that has done all that for us. He's called us out of a world of being a civilian. I'm just a citizen of this world. To become a soldier of the cross. Become a soldier of the King, the Lord of hosts. And so if we're in His army, we're called and put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, put on the whole armor that He tells us to do there in verses 6 through 16. When you look at this, you think, all of this is to prepare us for this new calling that He's called us out of, to be part of His army. And I put the Lord of hosts there because I wanted you to realize, as far as the host is talking about, is angels. And when God is appearing in the Old Testament, and the name that is used about Him there is the Lord of hosts. That means right then He is carrying the name of commander and general of His army, Lord of hosts. And His hosts are innumerable. The angels. And we're called to be part of that marching force through the world. He's called us from the penalty of eternal separation from God. I described that a minute ago. Everything that is from God will be removed. That includes life, that includes gravity, that includes every wooden thing, every metal thing, everything is going to be, we're going to be separated from it. We will exist. Eternal, but it's going to be gone. Separated from God. And it seems as if the only thing that we're going to see is what we're missing. As the rich man looked across the great gulf, he was seeing what he was missing. So God has called us out of that destiny to redeem us through the blood of His Son, the redemption of our sins, to be able to buy us back to be one of His children. He has called us out of that sentence of death to be in Christ. He has called us out of that doomsday situation to receive an inheritance that we've been adopted. And so let me talk about that for a second. I don't know if there's any orphans that are former orphans in this crowd right now, but if there is, be verbose. Tell us about what that felt like. To be have no family in this life, and no connection whatsoever. I can't call anybody my mother and my father because I was either given away or they died or something. And that is not a fun existence. Well, God receives us and adopts us as one of His sons. And then, to add to that, in the same verse, it brings out that we become the seed of Abraham. The blessings that were promised 4,000 years ago to Abraham. Through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That be us if we're with Him. Wow, what an honor. Planned something 4,000 years ago, and we're the recipients of it. That should make us so amazingly happy. Because He thinks about us. He's also called us out of not being recognized as one of His own to our name written down in the book of life. Now this verse shows the negative of it. It says, and anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That was that place up there at the top. Okay, we don't want that because then our name is written in the book of life. Someone suggested one time it must be written and it must be read, R-E-D, because it's written with the blood of Christ. Maybe, I don't know, but that is an interesting concept. That means that we are born again, we have life, not death, we have a mission, and we can embrace the character that God wants us to embrace. That is so far important in this life, because that makes us... Okay, I'm going to step over here. Here's the role. Worldly person. Man, you're weird. You know that? It's going to make us weird. We will not look like, act like, behave like, have the same goals, the same aspirations as someone of the world. Weird. So what? If I'm on the Lord's side, that's all that matters. How many did Jesus say would be on His side? Few. Few. Okay, so I don't want to go with the majority. I want to make certain that I'm on task with the Lord. Okay, there's other things. Let me quickly go through these as well that just do not fit into the biblical narrative, what God tells us. That is to say that I love God and yet I will quit church because there are sinners in the church. There are those that actually do things that are wrong in church, at church, in the family. Yeah. Every one of us sin. So, to some extent, that would include everybody. And so, if someone sees me at my low point and where I have messed up, and then all of a sudden... That mistake was made and they go, oh, the church is broken, so I'm leaving. It doesn't fit. Because we're all broken. But God knows how to put us back together. If we will humble ourselves in His sight, He will lift us up. it describes us as the bride of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5. And so, can you imagine what a marriage would look like? Let's say that we go to some big chapel and two people we know, and they celebrate, they are married, they have a reception, and we all depart, and then all of a sudden, the bride disappears. They bought a house. Doesn't matter, she's gone. What would the groom say? What's wrong? Where is... That doesn't work. That doesn't fit. That does not fit in what God had planned for us. We're His bride. We're going to celebrate with Him throughout eternity. And so the idea of quitting church is, really, you're just going to walk away after you have made a covenant before God and God Himself has bound you together? That's not right. If we've married the Lord, we need to live up to the commitment that we have made. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we know him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. And so, yes, we'll see there's challenges. We'll see there's difficulties ahead. We may even have to be crucified like our Lord. More than one of the apostles said, gladly I'll do that. Are we ready to go through that kind of thing? Worship God, but forsake assembling together. We live so close to the mountains. A lot of trips up into the mountains. We love the mountains. Love walking through the woods. It's a little dangerous for me now, but still, we love it. We get to thinking, this is so close to God, I can taste it, I can... Okay, some of y'all can relate to that. But just because we might have that individual fellowship with God, what about when God's people are involved and the kind of worship that would be involved in? He, from the very first day, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were together from house to house. Chapter 5 and verse 42. It says that even in other cities, that Paul waited a whole week because he knew on the first day of the week the disciples came together to break bread. They come together and speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that we are to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. He goes on and talks about us being knit together. That word knit there is kind of like the stitch. Oh, it's better than this time. But it's so close together, you can't even see the individual fibers. That's the word that is used to describe God's people. Not me and then depart. We're supposed to be one. Every way possible. That's impossible right there. Say we worship God and yet we forsake meeting together. That doesn't fit. What about when we say we love God and we don't love brethren? Ooh. That doesn't fit either. Because it makes it very clear throughout the scriptures. 1 John, for example, chapter 4. If anyone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment that we have from him. He that loves God must love his brother too, also. Yeah, that's impossible. That's impossible. What about saying I love God, but using the phrase, I can't? God asked me to do this, I did it. Oh, but this right here, I just can't do it. I just can't bring myself to do that. My brethren, the devil, his favorite word is the word can't. Behind this attitude, there are cultures that have crumbled, congregations have died, families have split apart. And when we're faced with a challenge that we know that the Lord has commanded us to do or to be about doing, if we fall back on using those words, I can't, we are destined to fail. We will not be able to succeed. If we can't trust Jesus has our back and bring us through it, then we just do not have faith. Remember, I've got the passages there. 1 Samuel chapter 17, that's where David is facing the giant that all Israel fled from. And the little tot called David, young still, he took him on. And toward the end, the last thing he said is, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save by sword or spirit, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand. That was the last thing that giant heard, because God did it. A few years later, 2 Chronicles, they were surrounded. Jerusalem was surrounded. The Assyrian army was like sand in the sea all the way around Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of enemies. And the prophet said, God said to the prophet, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. And that night, it only took one angel to kill 185,000 of the finest soldiers in the world. And we want to say, I can't. Really? That's a four-letter word that should not define our life. Faith that comes from God and overcomes our fears and our self-erected walls that we have put up. He didn't put them up. We see the shadows. We see the danger. We see, and we're just not willing to put forth what we need. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of fame or faith. And it brings out that Moses and Abel and Noah and Abraham and Rahab, they faced insurmountable challenges, but they went. And by faith, they did those things that no one else would do. So, brethren, this just doesn't fit to someone that loves God with all their heart and has the kind of faith that God wants us to have. So we need to stop saying, I can't teach the Bible. We need to stop saying, I can't mentor people that are new in Christ. I can't enfold them into the flock and have all things in common with them. I can't share the story of Christ because maybe I don't know where all the verses are at. Shame on you. It's right there in the book. And there's no shame in saying, I don't know where that verse is at, but I'm going to get back to you within 24 hours and I'll point out what God says. No shame in that. Pride that would keep you from doing that and using the word, I can't, that's humiliating. Because does not fit in the Bible. I can't be hospitable to a discouraged brother. I can't visit other members from the church who may be in need. And this one is the worst. I can't do any more, for I am too busy. With what is more important than serving our Lord and Savior? Aren't you glad that He did not say, I can't? We need to trust that the very reason why we live here, that we might be able to embrace love. Love is probably the hardest part. Learning to love God as He loves us. Learning to love one another as God loves us. And also learning to love our enemies. I can't! You don't know what they did to me! I don't. God does. He tells you, love them. We need to trust. We need to know that we can do all things through Christ. You know that verse. I don't have to say it to you. I can. He can. He can. Trust that God will go out for us. He will help us if this is not our comfort zone. He will watch over us to grow, and we'll be able to be more dependent upon Him, and we'll be more like His Son. Know, trust, remember, fear is a lie that will hold us back. Fear. And that's what may make us say, I can't. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will we not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? And last, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it brings out, to give you who are troubled, rest with us. That the Lord Jesus, when He comes with His mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God. Let me stop there for a second. We've just spent 2 months in the back class learning how to know God. The word know, in case you haven't heard it, I'm sure you have, I've said it many times, it is the idea, the concept, the heart reaction to have such confidence in God that I am all in. I am holding nothing back. I'm not letting work, I'm not letting play, I'm not letting hobbies, I'm not letting politics, I'm not letting anything interfere with me connecting with God and letting God connect with me. And unless I have that all-in attitude, I do not believe in God. You might think, boy, that sounds tough. I didn't say it. That's what the word means. So, people that often quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I agree with that. That's all that's necessary. Believe. Now, don't lose my thought now. That belief will cause you to do everything else God says, including repentance, confession, and all the things, and staying faith. So, do I really have that kind of belief, that kind of faith, that I really am connecting with God and allowing God to connect with me? That is a day-by-day process. I'm still a work, piece of work, that falls short often. And I'm sure that's true of all of us. But we've got to diligently know, connect intimately with God. That word know is the most intimate connection you can imagine. I won't go and explain that again. And I must obey God. I must obey. So it says, take vengeance on those that know not God. And that scared me one day when I looked that word up. Because that's a work. That is a process. But then knowing God and then obeying God. That's probably the easiest part. That's probably the easiest part, because what's involved in that is I've got to have that kind of belief, that all-in belief. I've got to let that belief convict my heart to the point to where I know that He did that for me. It was my sin that held Him on that cross. And His love for me enabled Him to go the path that His Father had for Him. And that should make me cry. Because He did it for me. And that should cause this humbling, godly sorrow. We need to repent, which is simply just about faith. Turn away from sin, never to go there again. Then there's some confusion about this confession part. Matthew 10, 32, 33, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You know, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God. What is this confession here? It shouldn't be confessed. It's not just me uttering a word, I believe it, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons did that. They admitted He is the Messiah as He came up upon them. It is not empty words just stating facts. There is something deeper here. And I put the word allegiance there to kind of express this. I am all in and I am willing to say it and show it and live it. I will take you to be my Savior this day, to have and to hold from this day forward in health and sickness, in wealth and poorness. Man, that sounds like a marriage ceremony, doesn't it? Yes. Because we become the bride of Christ. And we've got to be serious about this. Dead serious. These are not empty words. And of all these things that are on the list here, a lot of the world would agree with this. A lot of the denominational world. But for some reason, somehow, someone got such an influence to where they started negating the process of I now pronounce you saved in Christ. We got to die with Him. Rise to walk in newness of life. Very few denominations acknowledge this. And thus, many of those denominations are walking dead. So, there it is. Some things just don't fit. We need to recognize them and have the courage to stand up and live like things that God has told us to be, to do, and to say. And one of the things we can't say is, I can't. We should say, He can. And He will. He'll back us up. Having a Bible study with someone yesterday. And I told him a story about, I had a Bible student in the worst part of Baltimore. If you know anything about Baltimore, it ain't a safe place. Nevertheless, I was going to go visit this student and study with him. And I went down the street, it was snowing, and I just could not find the exact place. I'm on the street. Where is the address? Could not find it. So there was a fellow on the corner, street corner, hanging out on the corner. And I went up to him. I said, sir, can you help me? I'm looking for this address. And he got a snarl on his face. He turned his head this way. You know, kind of like a dog. He sized me up. Then he said, "Are you on the radio on Saturday at noon?" I said, yeah, we're on there teaching the Bible every week. Me and my mama, we listen to you every single week. That is awesome. I get to meet you. That is wonderful. It's right over there. See that part over there? That's where it's at. So I went over there and had a Bible study. I never was fearful at all in that. I guess I should have been. I didn't know what a danger that I was in. God was with me. And what would the odds have been of the very single person that I met, talked to, would be the one that listens to the radio program every single week? What would the odds of that be? You see, when God says, "I'll be with you, no matter what," that's a good ally. I want him on my side. To you, if you're not on his side, become one today. If you've fallen away, maybe you've lived in fear, and that's controlling you, come back to him. Right now, as we stand and say.